Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining me here today. I'm Mandy Rosniak, owner of Inner Winning Coaching, and I'm coming to you from rainy and windy Connecticut. Hope everyone had a happy and safe Halloween last night, and now you're getting ready to start that transition into the holidays and the winter seasons. I'm so glad to have you join me, and I'd like to encourage you to call in with any thoughts, questions, or comments. And the number to do that, if you'd like to call in, is 646-716-9397. And I will be here on Life Coach Radio Network the first and third Friday of each month at 1 p.m., and I'll be talking about everything beyond the skills and drills of sports. I like to look at topics and issues that make up the person and not just the player. We have information and contact that anyone can learn from, so make sure you tell your friends and family that they can listen to. So let me go back and let you a little bit about myself. As I said, I'm Mandy Rosniak of Inner Winning Coaching, and I'm a life coach that specializes in peak performance, leadership, and transition coaching. And my primary focus is working with athletes because I like to help them maximize that peak potential by quieting all that negative self-talk, those fears and doubts that hold them back from being their best. So basically, I like to say we train your brain to up your game so you can live and play fearless, focused, and free. Now, how I got into doing this is I'm a former Division I head softball coach and a college player, but I decided I wanted to expand my ability to help people achieve that full potential and get greater results, not only in their sport, but in their life. So when I learned about life coaching and I could help people in so many ways that were meaningful to them, I just knew I had a perfect match. So I went to IPAC, Professional Excellence in Coaching, and became a certified professional coach back in June of 2010. And I've just loved every minute of it because I get to watch the transformations and the results that people make, and there's nothing better than that. And so after today's show, if you would like to contact me or get more information or talk about the work I do, you can find more information on my website, which is coachmandy.com, my email, which is mandy@coachmandy.com, on Facebook at Inner Winning Coaching, or on Twitter, and my Twitter name is Life Coach Mandy. And again, just want to remind you, if you'd like to call in, the number is 646-716-9397. So today I'm very happy to be joined by fellow life coach Cliff Coffin, who is from sunny Arizona. I'm a little jealous of him today, being out there in Arizona compared to probably the weather we have here. And he also does work with athletes, and I'd like to now bring Cliff on so he can tell you about himself. So, Cliff, welcome to the show today.
Hey, good afternoon, Mandy. Hey, I just couldn't help but rub it in a little bit. It isn't quite near as cold. It's only about 48 when the sun was down this morning. It's up to about 60 now. So we are a little bit warmer. The sun is shining. There's no rain, although we could use it. I have a company that's called Elite Proactive Coaching. And like you said, I work with athletes, and my focus is on the proactive thought process. And I've had a lot of success with individuals that have grasped the idea, and it's really, that's what it is. It's an idea. It's a mindset. And you can get a hold of me anytime at cliff@eliteproactivecoaching.com. So, Mandy, I'll let you go because I know we have a lot to go over. So,
yes, and just to remind everyone, when he was telling us his weather report, for those of you on the East Coast, he's a three-hour time difference. So we're talking, what, it's only 10 a.m. there, and it's already up to 60 degrees for you. So I think you win on that one, for weather-wise. And again, welcome, and thank you for joining me today. Cliff has joined me on one of the other previous shows, so I'm very happy to have him back again today for some, you know, great discussion. And today we're going to be talking about some recent topics that have come up in the youth sports. And I wanted to go into this topic, some of these topics, because they were brought up, and I think, you know, they show up all the different times. You know, they're sort of a hot topic, like I said, in the news right now. But we're going to be talking about some different things, first one being, does, you know, running up the score constitute bullying? Because bullying right now is a very, very, you know, unfortunate situation we have going on in our, you know, in our youth today. So we're going to be talking about that. We're going to also be looking at, you know, the everyone gets a trophy mentality, and does that benefit or hurt kids later in life? And hopefully as we blend in all this, you know, in general, we're going to be just talking about how the sports build confidence and teach us life skills that, that help us out, you know, later in life, because all these things are so interconnected. So again, just one more time, I just want to, before we get going into this, remind anyone if they'd like to call in, the number is 646-716-9397. Now, the whole piece with bullying came up, and as I said, unfortunately, you know, this is not taking this subject lightly at all, because bullying is sort of almost a little bit of an epidemic problem we're having in our society right now. So in this topic, actually, when I heard this story, the reason why I wanted to talk about it is because I think that the basis of this story might actually sort of undercut some of the severity of bullying that is actually going on out there. So that's a little bit of why I wanted to look at this and where this is coming from. Because the story comes to us from, it was down in Parker County, Texas, and it's the story is about a football team, a high school football team that's in the Fort Worth area that had a final score of 91-0. Now, obviously, that is a very, very lopsided score, very high. And at the end of the game, the mother from one of the players of the opposing team actually filed a formal bullying complaint against the coaches of the Aledo High School football team. And her, like I said, her complaint was against the entire coaching staff. And she suggests that the coaches should have taken it easier on the competition, that they should have laid off a little bit. And just looking, telling a little bit more about the story here, during halftime, you know, the team was up by 56 points. And what they did is they began to actively try to keep the score down. They were constantly subbing players, putting in, you know, the younger players, letting the clock run continuously, and instructing players to, you know, play the game fairly and safely, but, you know, do what they could to not continue to run up the score. Because the coaches themselves, they know that they want to be embarrassed. They've actually talked about when they've been on the other side. Now, the other piece with this is that because she filed a formal complaint about this, now this does have to get to be investigated, which I'm sure is why, you know, it did hit the wires and, you know, it did make the news and come from such a place, you know, why it got brought up. You know, and the coaches talk about the fact that, you know, they understand there's nothing that they did to encourage their, you know, their kids, you know, to run up the score. And, you know, one of the things that they said is that when they started putting in the younger kids, the subs, the, you know, third string kids, those kids work very hard in practice every day, and they were just going out there and trying to do their best. So, you know, again, talking about this here, you know, again, the topic being, does running up a score constitute bullying? So, you know, my thoughts on this are, you know, when you've got youth sports, you know, you're going to have kids of different sizes, different skill levels, all those kinds of things. So you're going to get some lopsided scores. You see it even in college football. You know, they talk about it in the pros when it happens in the pro level that, you know, these guys are professionals. So when it happens there, you know, they've got to just – That's just part of their work, part of their business. But again, going back to youth sports, is it really constitute bullying? And so with that, you know, Cliff, I'll throw it out to you here. What were your thoughts, sort of maybe in general, maybe about this story, or also does running up a score in your mind?
You know, it's an interesting thought process. It's a very serious allegation that can't be taken lightly, especially in light of a lot of the issues that we've seen in the news from some of the fallout from victims of bullying. But, you know, when you dwell deeper into this story, there's always a lot more behind the scenes that if we don't look at it from every aspect, which parents have a tendency to do, especially when they're on the losing side, that it was noted in the complaint that the players were extremely sportsmanlike. They did not talk. They did not trash talk. They were very well-mannered. The coach on the other team said the same thing. This team is, the classification is the second largest classification in the state of Texas. So there's a lot of students in these schools. And when schools can recruit, they can bring in athletes that are maybe a little better caliber. Well, not maybe. They are better caliber than what some of the other schools can play. The team was, the team that got beat was 0-7. The team that won was 7-0. And not only that, but they had, their average score from the previous games had been 70 points. So it wasn't like they were running up the score on this particular incident. And they have it all season because the coach, from listening to it, it's something that he takes serious, but yet he makes a very good point. How do I tell my second stringers and my third stringers not to play hard because they've been busting it all week for the opportunity to get on the field? And when they get on the field, then they're told to tone it back. It's kind of hard because they're trying to become the best they can be at the same time. Now, saying that, that's a point that parents and coaches have an obligation to make sure that we're not, sports is not all about winning. Sports is developing character. It's developing teamwork. It's developing everything that's going to be your life from this day forward, because how you look at life is impacted so heavily by a lot of influencers. And if you're going to play a sport, then you're opening yourself up to a lot of opportunity for growth. But bullying in sports, it's really hard. Now, if it was the only team that they scored that many points on, it'd be a different story. But this coach, the storyline is the same as you see it in junior colleges. We see it in high schools out here in Arizona. You'll see a score of 70-0 or what basketball. There was a basketball game last year. I can't remember the exact score, but it was like 80 points to 6 points. And it was like, wow. You know, you feel for the team that's losing, but when the coach is doing everything they can to pull it back, there's not a whole lot that can be done.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the issues that this brought up, too, and some of the feedback people were talking about with this story in particular, it actually almost lessens some of the impact of, you know, someone who is being bullied for real, you know, who is being outwardly targeted. And I think that's one of the keys here. It's, you know, I think sometimes when somebody's being bullied, it's somebody's being targeted. It's a stronger foe maybe going after a weaker foe, quote unquote, in regards to how someone might perceive it. But I think bullying is when someone gets targeted. And in sports, you know, you don't have one opponent targeting the other to try to you know, lessen them or to try to demean them or anything such as that. Now, interestingly enough, this past week, I think it was Monday night's game, being a Red Sox fan, I was flipping back and forth between NFL sometimes and the Red Sox playing, but I believe it was Monday night's game when the Seahawks played, and there was a play in that game where Golden Tate caught a pass, and probably for about good 20 to 30 yards running down the sidelines, he was taunting the defensive player. And there's been a lot of discussion this week around that in regards to, you know, taunting and its place and looking at changing some of the rules around that. Now, to me, that's not a bullying case, but when you want to look at the two different situations, as you said, these players in Texas, they played with sportsmanship. They showed a good side of their character. They didn't taunt the other team. Yet this incident that, you know, Golden Tate was involved in, he was literally running down the sideline, pointing his finger in the face of the defender, taunting him the entire way down, you know, down the sideline. And to me, there's a huge difference. To me, that would almost, you know, I don't know if you'd classify again that bullying. I don't think that's a bullying thing. But when you take something like this, like you said, in high school sports, different youth sports, you're going to have competitions that are going to be lopsided. You know, you're going to have competitions, athletes that are bigger, you know, going to be stronger. They're going to have more access to training, better access to equipment. You know, especially in high school sports, you know, sometimes just where you live is going to factor in, you know, the money that is behind the school systems that obviously foster in facilities and, like we said, in training aspects like that. So You know, I do. I think bringing an allegation such as this lessens the entire topic of bullying and really puts it in the wrong limelight, and really, I think, takes away from the true nature of the fact that we do have a serious problem of bullying. And, you know, just losing a high school football game from a big score to a low score doesn't necessarily constitute that.
I agree wholeheartedly.
Now, has there been anything, you know, as you've worked, you know, worked through the years, or maybe when back when you played, or, you know, examples of that you've been around being either on the pro side of a high score, lopsided game, or the other side, that you can remember as to, you know, how it went, or how the kids reacted to it, or how you reacted to it? Cliff, do I still have you? Not sure. I might have lost Cliff. Cliff, are you still there? Okay, I'm not really sure here. But, Cliff, if you do come back online, just give me a shout. Feel free to interrupt. No worries there. Not sure what happened here. Always things can be interesting when you're going live here in live radio shows. But just to continue on, like I said, Cliff, if you do come back online, just please feel free to give me a shout out when you get back online. So, you know, in talking a little bit again about the bullying piece, I presently coach a high school softball team. And, you know, we run into this every once in a while with some of the teams we face. We have some teams that are more skilled, more talented than others. And there's actually one school in particular that we play against that when we're playing against them, we use our younger players. Our varsity kids actually do not play unless we have to use one or two of them just from a numbers standpoint. And then also so our JV kids primarily play. And then what we also do is before the game, we always talk with the umpire, and the kids know this, the other coach knows. As a matter of fact, the other coach was the one who sort of instituted this at the time. What we do is we have it set up where we play either three outs or we go with nine batters, whichever happens first. And, you know, we talk with our kids about, you know, we try not to have them do any. Well, hello. I am back. Something happened to my line. Cliff, do we have you here? Let's see if I can bring Cliff up. Cliff, do I have you with me? Check in here. So I apologize that for everyone. Not sure what happened there on my line. Going to see if I can bring him back up here as well. Cliff, hi. Do I have you back?
Yeah, that's sorry about that. I dropped and wouldn't come back in. So are you there?
No, that was I'm here, and that's going to be an interesting little piece for our listeners as well, because you dropped, I dropped. You know, things are just flying out of the air here, so I'm not really sure what happened there.
Okay.
I was, while I was waiting to see if we could get you back reconnected, I was telling a little story, and the next thing you know, my part dropped off too, so.
I heard you telling part of your story while I was waiting about the three-out inning shortening up things, and so go ahead with that story, because that was a good story if you didn't finish it.
Okay. So, again, we apologize to our callers, but, you know, when you go to live shows here, you never know what can happen. So, I was just sort of saying there that there's a team that we play that we absolutely know, you know, every year that their team's very weak. You know, these are girls that we play that have no feeder system. You know, they don't have any little league. A lot of times, the first time they play softball is in that ninth grade or when they enter high school. And, you know, they have a difficult time trying to, you know, get enough players and things like that. So when we play them, we use our JV team. And before the game, we start out with the rule, understanding that we play either three outs or the nine batters. So we don't ever go more than nine batters at a time. And now the thing is that's really interesting with this is the girls on the other team, probably they are the best. They are the nicest kids we play all year. And I'm not saying that, you know, negatively against anybody else, but those kids are just out there flat out having fun. They know pretty much when they walk onto a field, they're not really going to be in a challenge to win the game. But they are the nicest kids. They go out there and they try hard. And I'll tell you, our kids have learned a lot from playing against them. On a lot of levels, it's actually helped our kids appreciate what it is that they have and what it is that actually a lot of our kids play on the travel teams. You know, they have access to equipment. They have access to fields and facilities. So in that regard, you know, they've learned a lot from that. Every time we play, you know, unfortunately the score does get very, very lopsided. We do have a mercy rule here in Connecticut for high school softball. That's a 15-run rule after so many innings. You know, and our kids do, they even take it upon themselves that, you know, if there's a pass ball, they won't, you know, they won't always run. They, you know, if they hit a ball that they could get a triple on, maybe they only take a double. So one of the things that I've seen through this with doing this with my kids, and there's a lot of things and a lot of decisions and choices that I've watched them make on their own based on what they're assessing from the other team versus me telling them, you know, what to do and what not to do. So in that regard, it's been very interesting to see that. So, you know, so for them, there's been that life lesson and learning of the fact that, you know, you are going to come up against people who are going to maybe not have the same advantages as you and maybe aren't going to be as skilled at you as something you're doing. Yet, you know, you can still go out there and have an honest competition. So now before we ran into a little bit of the phone kind of piece, I believe I was asking you, you know, were there any circumstances such as the story I've talked about that you've ever come up against, been a part of, coached against, played against? You know, any stories like that you might want to share and what you've learned from it?
You know, when I was I coached a little bit of high school JV basketball because I had the opportunity and I love working with kids. And we had the same issue at a couple of the schools. Well, really only one you said it earlier. Sometimes kids, when they don't have the tools, they don't develop as well as kids with the tools. And we had one team that was just not as well prepared as a lot of the others, and we would start the second string and know that the starters weren't going to play, and even then the kids have a little bit, if they've been coached correctly, the kids have the know-it-all within them to know when to pull back and to just do things that they normally wouldn't do, not so much from the talent side of it, but from the performance. Maybe they don't go as fast. They take their time bringing the ball up the court, whatever it is. But the kids figure it out as well because they know that the object is not to humiliate the other team. And it's interesting to watch kids as they mature because you can tell the kids that have had that opportunity to hear that over and over, and then you can also tell the kids that just really get off on it, and that's just not what we want, not especially today. We have an obligation to teach our youth to be the best they can be, and I think that overall in the sports side of things, I think that is being accomplished.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think you know, the example you talked about and what I talked about, it's nice when you see the kids themselves on this and understand, because I think it starts to it helps them see that there's going to be differences. It helps them build some compassion, some empathy, you know, realizing that they're going to, you know, at times they're going to come up against other people who aren't going to be as skilled as them, and then what do they do with it? And, you know, it sounds like, you know, I think, again, we don't give our young people enough credit sometimes. I think sometimes, again, you know, it's the helicopter parent mentality of the fact that we hover over our kids and we're trying to protect them from everything, yet in trying to protect them, sometimes we're not giving them a chance to shine and be able to sort of learn, you know, through the ups and downs. you know, and going back to the original piece on this story, you know, the mother basically just said, you know, her son felt really, really bad after the game, and it must have been, you know, tough for the parents to be able to explain to their sons on the ride home, you know, about losing like that, you know, and things to that nature. But there was nothing that the mother ever stated as to more than just her son felt bad as to why she, you know, filed this bullying claim. And again, going back to the fact that you were living in a time when bullying is such a, you know, such a major thing going on in our society that something like this just lessens it, and we're, you know, we're taking away the opportunity for kids to be able to sort of, you know, learn some positives amongst themselves, learn from losing. I mean, I think unfortunately that's one of the things we've come up against is, and this is what we'll be shifting into in a minute talking about. But you know, nobody ever wants to, you know, feel bad. Nobody ever wants to lose. Nobody ever wants to not do their best. But unfortunately, in life, you know, when two people are going to be doing something that is a competition, one person's going to win and one person is going to lose. And like I said, the moment we start to shift in, talking about the other things, I think when kids can learn this at an early age, they're going to learn adaptability skills.
Very true, very true. And that's important because adaptability plays in every facet of our life. It's not just on the sports field. It's in the classroom. It's in work. It's in a relationship. It's in your interaction with people wherever you might bump into them. And it's something I don't think that we've all got a good grasp on, but it's something that everybody works on daily.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, I mean, I think you know, the topic that we're talking about here, excuse me, is, you know, is a good transition now into that next piece, in looking at the does everyone getting a trophy mentality hurt or help kids? Because, you know, again, the last little piece with the bullying aspect, you know, I think it's up to each individual parent, coaches, things like that, to decipher for themselves something like this. But I think in this case, I don't think you have you don't necessarily have a situation where this was a true bullying aspect. And unfortunately, it did make the news, and hopefully, like I said, it doesn't lessen the next kid or the next situation where maybe a more of a true bullying situation happens, then doesn't get swept under the rug because of something like this, which, you know, I think, like I said, sort of takes a little bit of the spotlight and sort of lessens some of the more serious issues we have out there in regards to bullying. And do you have any, I mean, last thoughts in regards to this topic as well?
No, I just want the listeners to understand that we are not at all condoning bullying. It's not a subject matter that to be taken lightly, and that's not the purpose of this discussion. The purpose of this discussion is to help everyone to understand that it does occur, but very seldom have I seen it occur in a sporting event. Coaches have all been on the wrong side, or the other side, not necessarily the wrong side, but on the other side of the score. They all know what it feels like. They don't want to experience it any more than they want somebody else to experience it, and they're trying to get their kids to understand the significance of doing this, the same thing, pull back as much as you can. And I think that's the message that I would really like everyone to hear today. That's what we are promoting. We're not promoting the bullying or condoning the bullying at all.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I was saying, I think something, a story like this can sometimes take, I think, the spotlight off the seriousness of bullying because, Lord knows, there's a lot of serious issues and cases out there that, you know, need much more of our attention than a story such as this. But I'd like to take a quick moment here to just let our listeners know of some upcoming shows we have. Before we sort of transition into the next part of our conversation here, on Life Coach Radio Network, which is the network you're listening to right now, this Sunday, November 3rd at 8 p.m., we have Mark My Words with Life Coach and Business Coach Mark Shaw. Then on Tuesday, November 5th at 7 p.m., we have Jumpstart Your New Year Now with Danielle Mercurio. And then on Thursday, November 7th at noon is Walk Your Talk with Leanne, The Many Faces of Adoption. And then on our sister station, we have Life Coach Chat Channel. And the next show there is Monday, November 4th at 3 p.m. And the show is Feng Shui for the Soul, The Undiscovered Goddess. And on our other sister station, the International Life Coach Channel, tomorrow, Saturday, November 2nd at noon, we have Fly Conversation with Life Coach Annette Johnson. So those are the shows we have coming up on all the stations here associated with Life Coach Radio Network. So, you know, shifting sort of gears here a little bit, you know, in the work we do as life coaches, you know, we want our clients to focus on the process, not the outcome, so that we're more present in the experience, because we know that we don't have any control over that outcome. We know there's so many variables that take place when you're, you know, you're doing something. So when kids participate in programs that give a trophy just for showing up, they get a medal for just being there, I think it even further lessens the impact of being in the moment and enjoying and focusing on the experience. Because effort at that point doesn't seem to be part of the equation. We don't really want our kids focused on the outcome just for the trophy. We really want our kids to focus on giving their best at all times so that they're not just, you know, and not just show up so you get something. Because, as I said, I feel it lessens work ethic. You know, I think it lessens trying to get better. And it gives a false sense of effort, you know, versus the rate of return on something you're trying to do. So, you know, this comes up from another story in Texas. Texas, obviously, we know is a big state, so they must have a lot going on. But they have a youth sports league. The Keller Youth Association has a football league that has decided to do away with trophies for every child, because as many people know who participate in youth sports right now, pretty much the big thing that's always going on is if you participate at the end of the year, you get a trophy or a medal. And so there's no trophies really giving out for the team that wins or the best team in the league or things like that. Every kid gets a trophy mentality. But the league directors and the board decided to start to, you know, stop giving away the trophies to everybody because they want to go away from, you know, getting away from just participating. So they decided a few years ago to start pulling back. They reduced it, and they had gone to medals. And now starting this spring when they get going again, only the league champion is going to go home with a trophy. And when they talked about it with the parents were actually in favor of this because they talked to one parent who said, you know, my son has 10 or 12 trophies in his room, and they don't mean anything to him because, you know, he got them for just showing up, but, you know, maybe a championship trophy might. So, you know, it's been something that's been going on for quite a few years now, this everybody gets a trophy mentality, and it's, you know, to me that's kind of like the saying of it. You know, and you get a trophy for just showing up. So, you know, Cliff, let me know, you know, share me your thoughts and things about this in regards to what you've seen maybe out there in Arizona, the effects it has, and your thoughts on the everybody gets a trophy mentality, and now, you know, if one group is starting to shift away from it, maybe, you know, more organizations will start to back off as well.
It's thank you for the opportunity here. I have to agree with the Texas people because we don't always get a reward for participating, and we don't need to get our youth accustomed to the fact that, okay, I participated, so therefore I am due. I show up, so therefore you shall give. It's not that way. It shouldn't be that way. I know it has been because I've watched it. I mean, the biggest thing that when I coached youth soccer, the biggest thing that we liked to give out was a little medal, you know, not a medal, a stick pin, one of those lapel pins or whatever they put on their soccer bags that said, you know, they participated in the sport. That was more as a participant, not as a reward for playing, but it's so they could say, okay, here's my five pins. I played soccer for 5 years. Goes to the same thought, though, that we're discussing here. Do we pull back in that arena in the hopes that we're going to share? Again, you don't get something just for showing up. I think that it's going to lead to a lot of discussions, but in the article, and I think you alluded to it, every one of the parents were all for it. And when they instituted it, the kids were even for it, because I think there was one reference to a mother talking about her son and his 12 trophies because he's played 12 years in – or played the 12 sports in this league. He said he would trade them all for one championship trophy. That's what kids need to have in their forefront as they move forward, is an acknowledgement of their success. And the success is generated by completing a task that is above and beyond the norm, and that would be in sports, winning a championship. So I think that this is going to lead to more discussions and more activities of the same sort, I believe.
Absolutely, and when you talk about, you know, with the trophies, I was speaking with a mother recently, and we were having this discussion, and she said, you know, my daughter's got this whole box of these medals and these little trophies, and I don't know what to do with them because she, you know, she doesn't really want them, and I feel bad if I throw them out. And, you know, I'm not really sure what I should do with them. And, you know, and I just got this box, you know, filling up my house. And, you know, I think it does. It lessens the fact of, you know, we need to focus on the experience of what we're doing. We need to focus on the process of what we're doing and realize that the outcomes take care of themselves and that when you do things for hard work, you know, hard work can matter. But if you just show up, you know, but you still in some ways get rewarded by getting this trophy. One, I think it also, you know, nullifies the significance or the importance of it's just one more thing a kid gets and they throw it in their backpack or they throw it in their room. And there's no, you know, it's stuff. It becomes stuff to them. You know, I think, you know, years ago kids maybe received certificates, like you said, about the pins. And a lot of times at high schools, you get your varsity pins, and, you know, you get a – that's another thing. You actually don't get your varsity pin until you've earned it. But, you know, it's a little bit of a significance piece of you have to earn it. And I think it's just really important because if you shift it down, you know, talking about life lessons and how it affects us later in life, you know, you move through, you get out there into the real world, you show up at work. Just showing up at work every day doesn't necessarily constitute you're going to get a raise. It doesn't necessarily constitute that there's going to be any reward at the end of the day, end of the year, just for showing up. You know, the raises and the promotions and the being put on certain committees and advancing in your career is going to require above and beyond effort. It's going to require being, you know, doing something maybe a little bit better than a counterpart. It's going to be doing something so you stand out from the rest. And I feel like when we do this, everybody gets a trophy mentality. Kids don't learn that. They learn to be part of a pack, and not that there's anything wrong with that. Yet I don't think we're developing the kinds of life skills that you then need when you get out into the quote-unquote real world. Because you see so many kids now that have, you know, anxiety issues, and there's so much pressure on them to, you know, excel in school and excel here and excel there. And yet, when you back it up, when they've been playing sports, there's actually been, you know, just show up, Johnny, and you get a trophy. So I think, you know, I think this is an important little setback for kids to see that, you know, and I think you and I are, I think, in agreement on this. What we're saying here is not the significance of the trophy. I don't think either one of us are advocating, at least I'll speak for myself. I'm not advocating absolutely, oh, it's all about winning to get the trophy at the end. It's just it shouldn't be about show up and here you go. Understanding that there you can still be a winner even if you don't win any games, but yet, hey, you know what? If you win more games than someone else, then maybe there's a little bit of a reward at the end. Not sure if I said that very clearly as to exactly how I mean that, but if you want to maybe expand on that, you know, feel free, because like I said, it's not advocating, oh my God, you have to win to get the trophy. I think it's what I'm trying to just clearly say here is it's about the big picture. It's about understanding it shouldn't be show up, get rewarded.
You know, that's a very good point, and I agree with you. I would elaborate a little bit in this direction, and we can go from there. But as we progress in the sports that we participate in, the competition gets heavier and heavier. And as we move up the ladder from peewee kids at 5 and 6 years old that are kicking the ball or playing whatever sport it might be, gymnastics or swimming, and move up to the high school graduate that's trying to get into a D1 program for the recognition and the possibility of being acknowledged so they can move into the professional arena, or to get a college education based up on their skills that they've exhibited and get the scholarships, the competition continues to get harder and harder. And if we, at an early age, get our youth accustomed to being acknowledged just for participating, they're not going to recognize the need to excel in order to get that acknowledgement. I remember when I got my first varsity letter, the thrill it was, because I'd busted for 2 years, I'd busted trying to get that letter, and I got it. And it was like, wow, now I've got a varsity letter. The same thing happens reflect back on the time you got your scholarship to go play ball. I'm sure that was a thrill. I didn't go to the college level on a scholarship. But the kids that I've talked to that did were thrilled because they got that reward for their efforts. And I think that's what we're trying to do. We're not saying that it's not a good idea to acknowledge our youth, but there's a way to do it. And this stopping of the trophies is going to be an interesting topic, because parents all around are going to be addressing it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the bottom line point to a lot of what we're saying is it's about keeping things in perspective. You know, it's about maintaining that perspective. I know parents are looking to protect their kids and things like that. You know, and some of the work that I do with some of the athletes I'm working with is, you know, we're trying to tap into that inner greatness. We're trying to bring out that best in themselves. And yet at the same time, we're really trying to focus on making sure they're playing for the right reasons. So in some ways, it's like, okay, well, you know, what are those right reasons? I think there, again, those are some of the things that you have to look at and decide for yourself. But if, the little kid is, or someone's out there playing, and they play and they get the trophy for showing up, you know, does it transfer into school? You know, does it transfer into the, you know, now I've come to class every day and, you know, I've done all my homework, so where's my trophy kind of thing? I think, like I said, I think it's more bottom line, you know, we're not going to be able to solve the world here, but I think it's bottom line is about keeping things in perspective and understanding that what does getting a trophy at the end of a season, what should and does it really signify? Like, what is the purpose of the trophy at the end of the year? And if it's for everyone to feel good about themselves, then we need to look at that as well, because if the trophy at the end of the year is going to make someone feel good about themselves, well, then we're linking an external reward to what we know as coaches to be very critical about having internal self-worth. So I think there's a little twist there as well, of making sure that we're not linking self-worth and value to these external rewards with these trophies. And that's probably a little more of a twist that I would go with this, is that, you know, let's not give a false sense of now you matter, now you mean something because you got this trophy at the end of the season. Any thoughts that you have, any more thoughts along those lines or anything?
That's a good way to put it, because from where I coach, I'm trying to get the individuals I work with to proactively prepare for the situations that they're going to be looking at, and to find a positive out of everything they walk into. If they do this, if they get this reward And that's what they're accustomed to. And when it finally gets pulled off, the reaction is going to be a negative reaction. Why did I not get it? And we need to continue to work on seeing a sunshiny day instead of a cloudy day in our life, because there's too many things that we can get upset about, and we don't need our youth getting upset because they didn't get a trophy. I participated, so therefore I should have gotten one. That's not what life is about. Life is about continuing to evolve and become better people. And our youth are doing that. They are continuing to evolve. In, like you indicated, if this is the league's idea is to make sure everybody receives that reward, then everybody needs to know that this isn't a competition. We need to back off. There doesn't need to be the team that's undefeated and the team that has no wins in that type of a setting, because then we're not setting a good idea. But that's been one of the things I promoted in the leagues, that give away trophies to everyone. Then don't keep a running win-loss total, because you don't want to reward the losers the same way the losers on the losing team the same way you reward the winners on the winning team, because then there's not a good balance in the reward / effort.
Exactly, and something as you were saying, and just sort of alluded to here at the very end, is it comes down to then also looking at, you know, keeping score and having one team win, one team lose. You know, a lot of times in some of the younger divisions, you'll always hear, well, we don't keep score, you know, and understanding that, you know, okay, that's understandable. But they always joke that, you know, it was an Everybody Loves Raymond episode, and it's hysterical because, you know, the grandfather's in the stands, and he knows what the score is, and he knows how many outs there are, and, you know, and he goes off about, you know, well, what are these kids learning? They're never going to be able to survive out there in the real world. And but, you know, again, I think it's, as always, lots of topics here that really, you know, can foster discussion and can foster, you know, the effects of does running up a score constitute bullying? Does giving everyone a trophy, you know, lessen the effects and take away from the lessons that the kids can and should be learning, you know, through sports? And I think, ironically, I'm going to say here, there's really no right answer, wrong answer. There's really no win or lose in this conversation. Because I think ultimately what everybody's looking to try to do is they're trying, it's about the best interest of the kids, which is completely what it should always be about. Yet I think as the adults, sometimes I think we lose sight of what might be in the best interest of the kids, because maybe it's ourselves we're trying to satisfy, or we're trying to lessen maybe some of what we felt when we played, or lessen the fact that we don't want to see our kids feel disappointment. You know, and in talking about, you know, how sports can foster confidence and how sports teaches us life lessons. Well, one of the big things sports can do is it can teach us about disappointment. It teaches us about failure and how do you come back. And if we go down this road of everything being just so everybody's completely equal and there's no win, no lose, everybody gets a trophy, then I think, unfortunately, I think there's ways that we can really, really teach our kids some great life lessons through sports without having to, you know, take some of the negative effects of the fact that, unfortunately, there's winning and losing in life. And this is how we can, you know, we can teach them. So, you know, like I said, these are some topics that I don't think there's a right answer or a wrong answer. It's about keeping in perspective and, you know, and always looking at that big picture.
And, I totally agree.
Yeah, and, you know, so, you know, my mind here is racing a little bit in regards to, you know, maybe a thought if you have, you know, can sort of quickly think of, you know, what was maybe one of the most influential things that you learned from playing sports, and maybe how that has, you know, helped you, you know, now through life?
I appreciate that opportunity right there, because what I learned through sports is what I try and promote with everybody I bump into. I learned teamwork, reliance, responsibility, and the opportunity to be a leader. But I also learned to recognize what I had to offer and the limitations and how I could expand upon those limitations. Sports is a key element in youth growth because it teaches them things that mom and dad can't teach them. It teaches them that I'm going to take the responsibility of being a team member. That means I have to show up for practices. I have to participate in the drills. If I'm going to be on the field, whatever the field might be, and I'm going to be playing, then I need to do my job so that I can feel good at the end of the day. Because when I don't, then I'm going to feel bad, and I might be letting my teammates down. I went to school to play sports, and that might be a sad thing for people to hear, but that was the only reason I went to high school. I could have went and got a job. I worked full-time during the summer, so I could have worked. But I went to school to play sports because I enjoyed the camaraderie, and I knew I was learning a lot that I was going to be able to use later in life.
And, you know, it sounds like and you've done quite well for yourself I'm just going to assume that when you played, you didn't get a trophy at the end of every day of everything you did. Those were only at the result of an earned factor. Is that correct?
Yeah, I don't have a trophy on my shelf because I didn't earn any trophies. I mean, even when I played the little leagues and the youth sports back when I was a kid, we didn't have those. And yeah, I can see the benefit sometimes. But I didn't have one of those. I have one medal I have two medals that I won when I was in track. I treasure those because I had to work really hard to get those.
Yeah, and I think that's like the bottom line point to a lot of this is, like I said, I think, there's so many, I don't think there's just one side or the other side in this whole topic of discussion. I think it's, again, that bigger picture. And understanding, like you just said, it was, you feel really, really proud of those because of what you had to do to earn them. And I think the big takeaway that I'd like our listeners to get with all of this is it's about taking that step back and looking at, what are the real repercussions. What are, the kids learning? What values are we teaching them by some of the decisions that we're making and setting up, and as we set them up to, versus the earning something versus here you go, everybody, gets that at the end. Because like I said, you're very proud of what those things you've earned. And I'm sure if you had a box full of medals just for showing up, you wouldn't even know where those are right now, probably.
Very true, and I appreciate this this opportunity because it gives both of us an opportunity to share with the listeners the growth that we've experienced in participating, leading, and now coaching from a different aspect. And it's a privilege to be on your show as well, Mandy. I really do appreciate this. Thank you.
Well, and I appreciate it as well. And, if you'd like to give – I always am always amazed at how quickly this time flies by on us because I feel like we just sort of, start to, get the tip of the iceberg going before you know it, our time is up. But if you'd like to – you've shared so many great things today, so many thoughts and things. Do you have any, final words that you'd like to share sort of either, the overall theme, anything specific, let us know here any final thoughts you have for us.
Well, real quickly, everyone that's listening, take it to heart. The things that Mandy's presented to you and the things that she brings each week are very dear to this coaching process that we're involved in. They're not lighthearted things that we talk about. The opportunity to discuss them today, she just alluded to, we're tipping the iceberg. We're just warming up to the subject matter, and we need to move on because we need to keep an even flow with this. If there's some, if we've touched on a nerve, if there's something you want to talk about, you can either reach out to Mandy or you can reach out to me at cliff@eliteproactivecoaching.com, and we'll be glad to talk it over with you. But remember, neither one of us are condoning bullying, but we wanted to bring the subject matter up because it is out there being discussed, and for it to hit a football game the way it hit, it's kind of really a point that needs to be discussed with everyone so that everyone can be prepared when it happens in their neighborhood. And Mandy, I thank you for the opportunity and look forward to doing this with you again in the future. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely, and thank you for your time. And it's such, like you said, such great discussion. And, you know, I think one of the things is that we do this hoping to educate. I know today some of the topics may have come across with a little bit more of, a little more from an opinion side, but Cliff and I both do work that we like to take a step back, look at that big picture, look at both sides of the, both sides of the coin, because the bottom line is we're just looking to help and foster conversation, have people look within and, bring out their best at all times. And, sometimes you got to talk about the tough topics as well as the, the other things as well. So, again, I thank you for your time here today. And these are some topics that hopefully down the road we can, maybe dig in a little bit deeper. But I know you and I have talked on the side, and we have so many more things we want to get into down the line. So I know we'll be back talking about some other things. So, again, I'd like to thank you for joining me here today. And if you'd like to just one more time give your information, how someone to get in touch with you.
It's Cliff at EliteProactiveCoaching.com. Thank you, Mandy.
Okay. Great. Well, thank you. And I'd like to just take a few minutes here to wrap everything up and let everyone know if you'd like to get in touch with me. You can go to my website, which is CoachMandy.com. And my email address is mandy@coachmandy.com, and that's M-A-N-D-Y, spell my name with a Y. I'm also on Facebook with Inner Winning Coaching and with Twitter at Life Coach Mandy. So take a quick second here to let you know the upcoming shows on our sister station and on Life Coach Radio Network and our sister station. We have on Life Coach Radio Network this Sunday, November 3rd at 8 p.m., we have Mark My Words with Life Coach and Business Coach Mark Shaw. On Tuesday, November 5th at 7 p.m. is Jumpstart Your New Year Now with Danielle Mercurio. Thursday, November 7th at noon is Walk Your Talk with Leanne, The Many Faces of Adoption. And then our Life Coach Chat Channel on Monday, November 4th at 3 p.m., Feng Shui for the Soul, The Undiscovered Goddess. And then tomorrow on International Life Coach Channel, we have at noon, Fly Conversation with Life Coach Annette Johnson. So if you get a chance, you can listen to those. And if you would like to listen to this show again or listen to any of those other shows, they all are recorded, so you can listen to them again or at another time, and you can download them, as well as all these shows are on iTunes after we have done the live shows. So, again, Cliff, thank you so much. I will be on again on Friday, November 15th at 1 p.m., and I'm going to be joined by fellow coach Philomena Iorio-Tashaluk, and we're going to be discussing stress eating and how it relates to just everyday life and then also affects athletes as well, and it's going to be a perfect time as we head into the holidays. And just on last note, I'd like to remind everyone to turn your clocks back tomorrow night. That's happening here on, for most of us. I know, Cliff, you in Arizona, I don't believe you do that, but here in most of the country, you turn your clocks back tomorrow night. And just like to tell everyone, go out there, have a great weekend, and remember to shine bright, live big, and be brave so that you ignite your inner greatness so you can live and play fearless, focused, and free. I'll see everyone on the 15th. Take care.